Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ when we are born again, as John 3:3 says. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and amen. Our Bible explains and predicts the world as we see it today. In this world, we see every kind of event that grabs our attention. It is as though there is a plan that keeps us completely occupied, that we do not search for God's understanding and what God is doing in the world around us. That's what it seems like, but of course, God is always with us, and we ask God to be with us in Jesus' name, and amen. From a young age, we are distracted from what God wants for us. Distraction after distraction, as questions are asked of us, like what kind of ice cream do we want? Or do you want chocolate? Or oatmeal? Or green eggs and ham? Yeah, that's my attempt at humor. But anyway, there is a real question of how are we to pursue God, especially when the world keeps distracting us. And do we want what the world has, or do we want what God has? Well, the world says they are giving us things for free, whatever it is that our heart seems to desire in the moment. But then things change, and people get hooked on whatever it is the world is offering. It's an old, old story of human history. How people want something, and they reach out to take it, just like the Greeks and the Trojan horse. See, the Trojan horse was a free gift, and there was a hidden surprise inside that free gift, and we get that today. So often we reach for the free gift, and then we find it is different from what we thought it was. Now, the Bible stories, and also stories in the world, tell us that this is pretty frequent of an occasion. We have surprises that happen in the Bible. There's Samson and Delilah. Oh, Samson thought he was getting one thing, but he got something else. There's Balaam's donkey. And somebody thought they were going out to do some work. And then they got a surprise with a talking donkey. Now, all the time, there are surprises, whether it is a foreign person outside of Judaism that has something, or somebody else who is offering wealth, or if you take something that you see as wealth, just like Achan did in Joshua chapter 7, when he stole gold and silver and a beautiful coat, and for his disobedience, he was put to death. So, there are things that we want and we think we can take, but there are consequences that we do not expect. And perhaps today, it's about the same way. We see things that we want, and we don't realize that it is a path to death. We are... in that situation in life. I mean, even President Trump, he wants a shiny new $400 million Boeing jet, and he thinks he's going to get it, and hooray, he gets a jet. But there are hidden consequences, and we find that out in life. I wonder what our founding fathers would say about Trump wanting to accept that $400 million Boeing jet. What would George Washington say? Well, I think he would warn us about being entangled with other countries. So, how would we look at the advice that an older person would give anyone who's younger, or us? Well, we all have a chance to learn, and we all have a chance to understand our humanness, whether it's a strength or a weakness. And that's just how our life goes. But I hope that we all can examine the things around us so that we can have the benefit of following God through Jesus Christ. Get that understanding and resolve to follow Jesus Christ faithfully. As we love our Lord and as we love our neighbor with a holy love. Well, love demonstrates God's love, and love is important, but we would do that to love with wisdom. And as we do that, we seek to love and obey God. Amen. Jesus Christ. Well, it reminds me of John 5:3, where it tells us to love God and keep his commandments. That is the love of God. Are we keeping God's commandments? Well, sometimes we really do, and sometimes we just go around the edges of the commandments. So I think that we just better look real close at what God's expectations are of us and let us do the very best that we are able as we choose to live for God and take that narrow path to heaven and not the wide path to hell. That's talked about in Matthew chapter 7. Well, we live and we learn and we go forth to do God's will. As we see about the things going on, I know often enough I talk about hell, and really there's a reason for it, because it's a reality, and if we do not know the bad consequence, we might not seek after the good consequence of obeying the will of God. So I do talk about it, and I think it's important for each one of us to evaluate what is written in our Bible. And it's good for each one of us to seek that out, not just to believe a pastor or a radio guy, but look it up for yourself and read the Bible. It's a good book. Well, we have our lifetime to figure out how we are going to obey God and live out the will of God. And then our life is done, and it's time for eternity. So life can be long and life can be short, but whatever it is, we have a decision to make while we are alive. I certainly have noticed how many people are willing to hear the good news of the gospel. And then let us remember how important it is to live the good news of the gospel the way it is actually written in the Bible. I certainly have known people who want to make an adjustment in what the Bible has to tell us. And I think there are consequences if we do that. There are consequences for us obeying God's will or for not obeying God's will. So let's prayerfully read our Bible and have it in our hearts to fully follow Jesus Christ. And that is so important, to have our own personal relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And I hope you find it important to be born again in the Spirit of God as we live according to God's will. Now, there's so many people in history, and today, and people want to believe that they are doing what is right. And I think it is important to look at what God's will says, so that we are obedient to God's will. And it's something we might have to pray about and ponder how it is in our life. And I think that's a good thing, to seek to obey God. And we understand things as best we can. And that's a good thing about reading the Bible. It gives us a little bit different understanding. Well, we all have somebody to obey here in an earthly sense, too. So obeying God is kind of the way that we understand when we think about an employee doing what the boss tells them to do, or a citizen doing what the cop tells them to do, or children doing what the parent says to do. So we do understand that there is an order that we are to live within, and the people in the Bible also have an order, and we see the consequences of when they obey God and when they do not obey God. And sometimes we see that in our very own life, and we say, oh, I wish I hadn't done it the way I thought was right. I wish I had done it the way God says is right. Yep, I think we all have done that a little bit. I have. So have a caution about your awareness of what is going on in the will of God, and also in your will, sure. And then follow the will of God as you are prayerfully prepared for what is coming. And certainly we get an idea, but to know the timing and the exactness of what is coming, we have to search that out. So maybe you will. Maybe you will search it out and get a little bit prepared for what is coming according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They all say, well, wars, rumors of wars, and pestilence, and earthquakes, famine. So if we believe the Bible, we know that's coming. So I think let's get a little bit prepared for what just may very well be coming. The thing is, we don't know about the timing of it. So don't be discouraged when you look at the world and you have things that you expect, because everything's really in God's timing. And we say, yes, Lord. The world has its own time frame. And there's a spiritual element also with God carrying out what he says is coming. I think of Matthew 4:8, where the devil is talking to Jesus and says, there are the kingdoms of the world, and he offers them to Jesus and says, are they not mine to give? And it seems to go like, yeah, they're his to give. So this is something that we deal with in life as we deal with the world around us. Some of it is powerfully dark and sinister. And so our position is to be a light to the world and represent the light of Jesus Christ to, well, it might be the people around us. It might be more people. But we do something, because you know in the world there is all sorts of trouble. There's pain and suffering and so many things that just we would like them to be gone, but they're not. They're right here in the world. So we have to deal with them. Even though it's a hard time and there are troubles, it still is nothing like the wrath of God, which the people say, we are not here to endure the wrath of God. Therefore, many people say we will be raptured before the wrath of God. Well, that's true. We will. Very true. But just like people in the past, like the Hebrews at the time of Exodus when they left Egypt, there are still hard times that come to people just because they're in the world. And we have to know that troubles also come that are ordinary troubles. It's not the wrath of God. It's just ordinary troubles. So, God says that he will be with us through these tough times. So let's remember that and seek to obey God as we go through the tough times and show, well, a loving compassion to our neighbor as we love God. And it reminds me of the days that we have had in the past and the ones that we can expect to see in the future, where Christians have been persecuted. Oh boy, I've heard the stories, met some of the people. It's just going to be a very difficult time to go through when Christians are persecuted, and so we have these things that are we can expect. Oh, John, it's the book of John. And then there's 1 Thessalonians 5:9 that talks about today's Christianity and the hardships of the Exodus, which were not a time of wrath, but it just shows that we really will have some hard times to go through. And there could even be crucifixions going on, just like Jesus was crucified, just like Nero lit Christians on fire just for sport, fed them to the animals in the Colosseum. There are times when the rulers are cruel, like Caligula in Rome was. It's just things going on. And it's not the wrath of God, which will be terrible. It's just what the world does to some other people, including Christians. And we can expect those kind of things in the days of that are coming. Yeah, it's going to be terrible, but it's not the wrath of God. And so we have to look at what is coming and try to protect ourselves from the things that we know how to protect ourselves from. I think the big one is hunger. So let's store a little food. And I wish it were the nice, nice food, but I think of the grains and how we can have bread just by grinding our wheat and making bread. So it's still something we can eat so that we don't have a famine that we starve from. I know there's a lot of things that are coming, and we just have to realize that we're going to face them and speak to other people about the good news of the gospel. I know that that's, well, I know based on the Bible that that is coming, but we have lots of questions how everybody has an idea about what's going to come. But it's still hard to ignore Matthew, Mark, and Luke about wars, rumors of wars, famine, earthquakes, and pestilence coming. So let's get a little bit ready. Get a little bit ready for the people we love and for ourselves too. Because we do have things that are going to happen. We don't exactly know what they are. I mean, did David know what would happen when he fought Goliath? Not completely, but he knew that with God with him, he could certainly defeat Goliath. I think it's funny. No, it's not funny. But how David did have promises from the king that the king would give David... his daughter to wed, and the king would also allow David, which meant his family, to be exempt from taxes. So that's 1 Samuel. And so David got mad at Goliath, not for what he could get out of it, even though that was a good thing for David, but David was upset with Goliath because Goliath was mocking God. And so they both said, Goliath said he'd feed David's body to the birds. David said he would feed Goliath's body to the birds and the wild animals. Well, that did happen, and David used his sling to knock Goliath down, and then he used Goliath's sword to cut Goliath's head off. So, I guess swords can be pretty handy. What do you think? Oh, it's a big question, isn't it? Well, I do wonder, as in the days of Noah, what does that mean? Will again return to the earth? What does the days of Noah mean? What do the days of Lot mean? because those are going to be returning to the earth. There could be some really big demonic activity at that time. There could be giants on the earth too. It's kind of something we don't know about, but we can see their indications. So if we are considering giants, then think about how you're going to fight a giant. Oh, I think of Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum, you know, the giant that's smelled the blood of an Englishman. Well, there are legends all over the world about giants, and that includes stories from the Native Americans and the Spanish explorers that explored North and South America, and they wrote about giants in their journals. Some of the giants had six fingers and toes. And there's speculation today that the giants also had two hearts. It's something we certainly don't really know, but there was that giant of Kandahar that was taken and examined, but nothing was made public about it, so we still are at a loss for what it really means. But we do know that there were accounts of giants in many, many newspapers in America in the 1800s, and so it could be a reality that we have in the future. It's one of those things we just don't know, but we can be ready just like we can be ready for starvation. How? By having food, by having a water filter, by having a few things that will carry us through a time of trouble. We do have a question about the things that are written, always, and how do we prove that the things of the Bible will come to pass? Well, it's based on the experience of the past and also on our own experience. We know that because things have been written and they came true, we can have some assurance that what is prophesied in the future will also come true. And then we have human history, which is a little questionable. I mean, there's some people that completely believe it, some people that completely do not believe it, because there are the bones of giants. That reminds me of the 20. There was a skeleton over 20 feet found in Switzerland, one in France, too. And so there's these things that we have a hard time to prove because science doesn't want it proven. And we get words of the skeletons that are found that are 8 feet, 12 feet tall. And I remember the ones that were in Roman times near Carthage, Africa, and they found skeletons in the stream bed after a great big rain. It washed the dirt away, and they found two skeletons 30 feet tall. How do we prove anything? How do we say that something like that happened? Well, was it 2,000 years ago? How do we prove it? How do we prove that Jesus lived? How do we prove that Abraham Lincoln lived? There are things which sometime we have to look at the evidence and say it's enough evidence for us to believe. And do I know what to tell you? No, of course I don't, because we have questions all over the place, and it's up to you to ask God for discernment and try to figure it out. As these days are changing with the things that we understand and the state of science and what is actually allowed to come out, do we really get all the news? Do we hear about the vaccine problems? Well, we hear more and more. Do we hear about the skeletons of giants? A little bit. But we have to look up the information and try to substantiate what is true and what is not. And I hope you pray about it, because God is the best source for for bringing truth to your mind and your heart. To understand the reality of this world. Now, I know there's a lot of people who really don't know what to believe. I understand that because there's a lot of misinformation also. And somehow, I hope that we all pray and ask God to guide our understanding so that we can understand the truth for whatever it is. If it's about giants, if it's about the going to the moon, if it's about what is going on in these present days with our government or governments of the world, lots of questions. And who do we believe? Do we believe the government? Do we believe the pastor? Do we believe the people who get little pieces of information that they tell you they're true? It's just a good question. I hope you pray about it and ask God for discernment to understand what really is going on in the world around you. Besides the troubles, there are the blessings. And always remember that. See what to do about what is coming. See what you need to keep on hand. Whatever it is, a water filter, food, a little bit of gasoline for your car. By the way, fill up your car when it reaches halfway of empty and fuel. Because if we have an electrical outage, it means that we will not be able to go to the gas station and buy gas. They might not be able to take our money or our credit card, and they might not have the electricity to pump the gasoline. It's just a lot going on now in these days, and we even have a banking system that is having signs of, well, a complex difficulty. And sure, it's not as simple to fix as things used to be, but there are things that we know are going on, we just don't know how they will affect us. And that makes me think of the WEF, World Economic Forum. In 2019, many of the groups were trying to understand how they would deal with a massive electrical outage. Yeah, 2019, that was going on for exercises to see what they would do. There's a lot of people who still believe we are on the edge of an electrical outage. And of course, we have seen them around the world even in these recent days. There was the electrical outage for Spain and Portugal and parts of France. And I'm not sure that they know how it happened, but the point is a lot of people went without electricity. And they're not the only ones. Cuba went without electricity for a few days. Puerto Rico went without electricity for a few days. That was in April. So these things have happened recently, as in weeks and months ago. It's just that if they happened once, they can happen again. And this is a part of what we need to do also, to know that things like this happened before and they can happen again. So if we have a major electrical outage, how are you going to deal with it? I think of the EMP Commission that Congress formed. Oh, that was 15 years ago or more. And there was Peter Pry, who was in charge of it at one point, and then other people took a leadership position in the EMP Commission, Electromagnetic Pulse Commission, that would look at what would happen if the electrical went out in the United States. How would we get through it? It's a huge, huge issue. Because without electricity, well, just think of all the things we wouldn't have. The gas pumps wouldn't work. The cash registers wouldn't work. We could not go into a darkened building. We wouldn't be able to recharge our cell phones. We wouldn't be able to have lights on at night. There are so many things that would change our life in the extreme if we did not have electricity. And there have been electrical outages. Yeah, I just said the one in Spain, Portugal, and France, or the islands like Cuba and Puerto Rico, but there have been plenty of other outages as well. Some of them last a few hours, some a few days, some a few weeks. It's always a difficult thing, and you also have to consider, or I hope you do, that China has built the transformers to supply the electricity in much of the United States. Huge, gigantic transformers. And there are people who believe that China has a computer, a crypto opening into those transformers where China can send a secret signal to turn the transformer off. Well, some of this has been confirmed by U.S. agencies, and some of it has remained unknown. And really, we don't know, but because we don't know, it means that we could have a little bit that we do to prepare for the just in case. What if the transformers go off? What if the electric lines are melted from a solar mass ejection from the sun? And that happened in 1858, where the telegraph lines and the fence lines were melted because there was a burst of energy from the sun that hit the earth. And if it happened once, it can happen again. In fact, it did happen, but not that majorly. The earth was not in a direct line, but it happened in 1923 and 2005 or 8. And there were things where the electric lines did melt, but they were repaired. One of the electric lines was the line that goes from New York to Paris, or America to Europe. And that line actually melted at the end and had to be repaired. So there are things that are still going on, but of course we don't hear about them because, well, I'm not sure why, but we don't hear about them, even though some of the media will broadcast the information, but it just does not become widely known. And when you talk to the first responders in America, they say we should be prepared for major events. Now you get to decide what those major events are. And I know Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about those things that are going to happen before the end of the age. And so we can just kind of make a reasonable guess about what would happen. And so let's do that. Let's look at what would happen if there was another 1858, a coronal mass ejection that hit the earth from the sun. And what if our electrical wires burned up? What if our fences melted and caught the grass on fire, that the melted steel and copper dripping into the grass would catch fires? Well, I think our electricity wouldn't work anymore, and our cell phones wouldn't work anymore. And so it's something that really is a real question. But do we know for sure? Kind of yes, kind of no. It depends on what you read in the Bible. And of course, as a Christian, we believe the Bible, and we say, thank you, Lord. So this is a part of the maybe things are going to go on. And when I think about that coronal mass ejection, or the EMP, which is electromagnetic pulse from a nuclear weapon, I think of the one that happened in 1963, where the United States government made an a nuclear bomb go off in the atmosphere, and then 700 to 800 miles away from Hawaii, the electricity went out because the electrical components were burned up from that atomic bomb with the electromagnetic pulse, EMP. So, there are still things that can go on. Yes, the sun can have a coronal mass ejection, and yes, an enemy can put a electromagnetic pulse into the atmosphere and have it take out all of our electricity. Well, certainly we don't know what'll happen, but we know we have enemies on Earth, and there are people who want to see the destruction. There are satanic forces that want to see humanity suffer. And I think if we had to live without electricity, oh, we would suffer. I think you would not be walking to the store because the stores would not be getting their truckloads of groceries and supplies. So it's another reason to have a few things on hand, to be able to water our garden, sure, to be able to do this and that. There are a lot of people and countries that are not friendly with the United States, and there are ways for the electricity to be taken out. I think of North Korea that has two satellites that fly over the United States every day. We don't know what's on them. We understand they are observation satellites, but you can say anything you want about what a satellite is up there for. But every day, the North Korean satellite passes over the United States, and if it had a nuclear EMP weapon on it, it could cause electricity to go out in part of, or, well, we don't know. It could be all of the United States. We don't know what is on it. But there is research done by various countries to try to destroy other countries. It's a lot of questions. And I know that there is things going on in the United States. Some of them are good and wonderful, and some of them are so bad. When I was a young man, I didn't know how bad things could be. And then, 20 years into my business life, I began to hear more and more things as people took, they had a little rapport with me, and they would tell me about things, and I found out, wow, there is really a lot of dishonesty going on in the business world. There are people who accept gifts, which is graft, it's corruption, but it was going on, and I remember being so surprised that I didn't know that it was going on. But from the stories I heard from various people, I knew that, yes, somebody had given a gift and somebody received a gift, and it was not right. But that was long ago now. But the point is if the world is so corrupt, what will God do to fix the corruption? Will he actually destroy the civilizations of the world to bring back his own righteousness? Well, there might be a Garden of Eden created by God if humanity is destroyed, or if the system of evil is destroyed. Of course, I don't know. I don't know, but I do wonder about it. And some people would say, good, destroy the evil because they have been hurt so badly by the evil system. And I don't know. I don't know, but I wonder about it. I never used to believe things were so bad. But after 20 years, I began to see how things were put together. Again, 20, 25 years ago, I was talking to a fellow who I knew who was the foreman at a manufacturing plant, and we got to talking about corruption in the United States and corruption in his native country, which was Mexico. And we had a detailed discussion of how corruption works in Mexico. And I think it's not just Mexico. I think it is in many countries where a gift is given and favors are given out also. So it's an exchange. They get money. Their relatives get some money. Somebody gets something of value. And the judge knows it. And the judge corrupts justice in his decision. Oh, yeah, there was. He told me that you could have all sorts of decisions. And you could buy anything, basically, to corrupt the justice system in Mexico. Whether it was because there was a theft that went on, somebody stole something, or whether it was in a, let's call it a divorce case, or if it was somebody suing another person over a business transaction. There were many, many opportunities for corruption in that system. And corruption is widespread all over the world. We hear some of the stories, whether it's Ukraine or Iran or any country has corruption. And how do you reach the people? That's a more complicated question. Do you want somebody to have an influence over your case? Well, it might be a little bit complicated, but I was shocked to find out how it went on and how you could actually reach the individuals that would be corruptible by whatever you gave them or maybe a relative of them. That happens in Africa, South Central America, Asia. It happens all over. In fact, the amount of corruption that is going on in Asia, in China, has been noted by reports that are not completely verifiable, but you still have testimony of it going on. The testimony is similar from one person to another, and so it gives you an idea that it is credible testimony about the corruption. And so far in the United States, we have relatively very little corruption, but the corruption still goes on. Like I just told you, I found out about it 20 years ago. After 20 years of being in business, people got to trust me with some information. And so I learned things which I did not ever expect to hear about. But I did. And so the point is we want to live a life which is just, a life which is holy. And God gives us that opportunity to live a holy and a just life as we live through the world. A part of what we have as we live life is to find God through Jesus Christ. And that's something we each want to do before we die. And it's funny, we can think that somebody has longer or shorter, and in a way that's true. How many years do you have to discover God through Jesus Christ? It's different for everyone. But the fact is that every one of us has one lifetime to find Jesus Christ, and for us to be obedient to God through Jesus Christ. The Bible is full of the words that tell you about what we are to do and how we are to live. And that's something we want to search out and live so that we are showing that we belong to God through Jesus Christ. Just because we live a good life does not mean we're going to go to heaven. It is by the strength of Jesus Christ that we get to heaven. And we surrender our life to Him. Now I think of the thief on the cross, and I'm so glad for that example, because he did that with only minutes left in his life. Now, I don't know what it'll take for anyone else. And I know for me, it took me years of study to become a follower of Jesus Christ. For you, I can't answer that for you. I just know I want you to do it. I want you to do it while you are alive here on earth, before your life is over and things change permanently. Yeah, death is certainly a wake-up call. It was, my little accident was a wake-up call too, but it showed me that I was all right with going into the next life, because it just showed me life would have been good to continue on earth. Life would have been good to go to heaven. And I know that a lot of people who don't have Jesus in their life only look to this life on earth. And so I want to encourage everyone to search out a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And then I hope you will not have any fear of death, because death comes to us all, whether we're a very ordinary person or an exalted person with perhaps a kingship or a popeship. Popeship. Well, I do remember a few weeks ago that the Pope needed to be sedated when he was in the hospital, because he kept crying out and saying that there was a devil at the end of his bed. And it sounded like the devil was waiting to eat his soul, so to speak. Well, I've tried to look things up, and I find that they have been taken off the internet. And I sure was completely positive that I had heard that story a couple of times, and it was verified by, what was it, the Vatican Press, something like that. It was a verified story, but I never could find it again. So I think that we hear things and then they are removed from the media so that we can't find them again. And that leaves us in a position where we have to be certain that we belong to God through Jesus Christ and put the time into that relationship through prayer, through obedience, and the acts that we do. The acts do not get us into heaven. What we do is not a matter of salvation. We get salvation through the good kindness of Jesus Christ, but we also show that we belong to Him. Are we showing that we belong to Jesus Christ as we live? Well, that's something that every one of us has to determine. How will this happen, and what will we do? I think of the justice that gets perverted. I just talked about that, how it was Deuteronomy 16 that talks about that we will not pervert justice by bribing a judge. And we have examples of what happens when it does happen. 1 Samuel, there was Eli and his sons became priests, and they were unholy in what they did and what they accepted, bribes and favors. And God killed them. God killed those two sons of Eli, Hophnias and Phinehas. So, these are things that happen, and why we want to say, "Yes, Lord, I will obey you and do what you tell me." So it's a process that we learn more and more, better and better, as we seek to be with Jesus Christ in that heavenly place on that narrow path, and not and that we do not go on that wide highway to hell. It's something we all want to be aware of. I know that the times that we are approaching could be quite concerning. There could be difficulty, as we have heard the danger from electrical outages, and I talked about the World Economic Forum having practice sessions where they would think about how they would deal with a lights-out situation. What would they do? How would they get through it for their company and for their personal life? And that is something that has been talked about many times. I think that Peter Pry with the congressional study on the EMP commission, and he said that if the electricity went out in America, between 60% and 90% of Americans would die in the first year. So we have something that we know is a danger, but what are you doing about it for the just in case it does happen? Now, that little percentage, some people say 90 to 95%. Some people use the original figure of 60 to 90% of the population would die. The point is, whatever it is, there is something you can do right now to prepare for yourself and the people who you love. And that is getting ready for a little bit. Now, I have my preparedness pamphlet, which I certainly offer anybody if they would send me a stamped self-addressed envelope. I will return that preparedness paper that I have. It's kind of simple, but it still will motivate you to think about what you need to do for the just in case. And everybody has a different idea, but if you do nothing, you will be just as prepared as you are right now for the electricity to go out for years. What would you do? What would work in your life? Would your car continue to work? Would your phone continue to work? Would you be planting a garden? Do you have seeds and gardening equipment? Well, it's always a question, and I don't know how to answer it for you. I just know that there are things that you can think about to have on hand for just in case something like that does happen. And we do know it's been going on in the world for the last months, for the last years, and therefore we know that it could happen to the United States, especially with the troubles that are going on, and we don't know what they are. But we do know troubles are going on. The world is in conflict. There are wars going on, and people who are very unhappy with their situation. Even if it's a lovely situation, they think they should have better. And we don't know what'll happen, but we certainly know we have enemies. And they're going to happen, that because God said it would happen. Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about wars, rumors of wars, and famine, and just troubles. Now, how would famine happen? It could happen for a variety of ways. And so we are going to do some things that will help us in the event of a big society breakdown, just like it has happened in other countries. It's happened, and it can happen here, and it can be a great, big, huge thing. So get a little prepared in the best way you know how. Oh, and again, if you want that preparedness page, just write me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927, and I'll get that back to you. It's just something to motivate your thinking so that you get some attention about what could happen and what would you do if it happened to you. Well, think about the people in the world, the missionaries, the people who are living their life for godly purposes, and I hope you send a few dollars their way so that they are able to do their work, whether it's in this country or another country. Help people to do God's will. And may God bless you and give you wisdom for what is coming around us. There are too many possibilities to know what is coming. I just know things can happen, so I warn everyone to get a little bit prepared. Show that you love God and that you love your neighbor. And I know you love your family. Again, God bless you.